This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 17 and Franchise Hockey Manager 2, two excellent sports strategy games for the PC. You can get Out of the Park Baseball 17 for 10% off if you go to outofparkdevelopments.com and use the code PRESS17. That would be awesome. And you can get Franchise Hockey Manager 2 at a special low price right now through outofparkdevelopments.com or on Steam. Go check it out. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Since the last time we talked, Mr. Rich Grisham, that was our Madden NFL 17 review roundtable. Quite a lot has happened in sports gaming, and we're now in the midst of the rush of releases, right? That sees something like 80% of the sports games for the year come out within a five-week period.
I've never felt it, and it may sound strange, but I've never felt it as much as I have this year because, for the most part, I'm a pure consumer. And I'm blessed that I have, you know, several great jobs and I have the spending, you know, power to buy these games if I really wanted them. But it's not so much about the money. I realize for a lot of people it is about the money, but it's time. Like, oh, yeah. There's just no time to play all of these great games. And it's been fun and interesting to sort of pick and choose what I'm going to do, where I'm going to spend my time, and where I'm going to spend my money. And boy, they make it as hard as possible because these games are all out now, and everybody has a lot of decisions to make.
Or about to be out. There's still Forza Horizon 3 and FIFA 17 in a week and a half. So, yeah, it's a mess of games. And we've talked about it many times before, Rich, about how this squeeze of releases here within a five-week period of, you know, 10 games you could possibly qualify as sports games, that, you know, it does come down to consumers having to choose more so than maybe they want to. And it's not a matter of, man, sales are going to be impacted greatly because we know that the majority of consumers only buy one or maybe two of them in a year. But there are those like us. There are certainly those like us out there because we're feeling it. And I've heard from many others who are feeling it, who have to pass on a certain game because they don't have the time or money. And so what have you been playing recently, Rich, with the time that you actually have?
So I have been playing as much as possible. And that includes actually a pretty good list. So the first thing I want to mention is the Forza Horizon 3 demo.
Right, yeah.
I've already pre-ordered Forza Horizon 3. Forza Horizon 2 was my, you know, game of the year, or at least in the top two or three, I guess 2 years ago. Forza Horizon 2 was 2 years ago. Oh, yeah, it would be. Yeah. So if it wasn't my game of the year, it was right up there. I mean, I just absolutely loved that game. And I didn't 100% it, but I more than completed all of, like, the races and stuff like that. I just absolutely loved it. So I got the new Forza Horizon 3 demo, and I fired it up, and I played it for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then it crashed.
Oh.
And then I went back to, you know, just rebooted it, assuming I would be picking up where I left off. But no, I was back to the beginning of the whole demo, which, granted, playing for 15 or 20 minutes, it's not like we're talking about hours of time. And I was a little bummed. And then when I started playing it again, I was like, oh, this is actually fun. I was almost like, okay, well, that's all right. I'll just, you know, redo the 15 minutes because it was so good.
Yeah.
But I was just like, ah, you know what? I'd rather just get in a game of Pro Evo, which is what I then switched to, which is another game that I'm playing. But going back to the Forza Horizon 3 demo, I mean, again, I was already buying this game. This is already there. Like, the demo I just view as a nice little appetizer, a teaser. It looked great, sounded great, felt great, raced in several different kinds of vehicles. I was in a souped-up hyper sports car at one point. I was in a souped-up truck at a different point in time.
They do a good job of introducing you to kind of the different styles of racing in the demo.
So that, I mean, I loved it until the crash, and then.
And you're talking about a console crash, not console a vehicle crash.
That's right. Yeah, console crash. But I'm like, you know what? This game's going to be here in a week or two. I got other stuff to play. I'm happy to wait for the full game. So it sounds like you also played the demo.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually working on a review for the game, but the demo is basically, you know, gets you introduced in the same way. And so I can't talk too much about it other than the demo experience, which, as you said, it's, you know, it's fantastic. The setting of Australia is really brilliant. And it does offer a ton of variety, not just in the types of vehicles and how they race, but also the terrain and the weather. And it all really impacts you. And I started doing something completely different than I've ever done before. I started racing from the cockpit view.
Oh, boy. You are a real man's man doing that. That I can't. It's too hard for me to see.
It's hard. But I'll tell you, the experience of it feels like...
it's intense, right?
It is totally intense. Plus, it looks really cool on videos, which is what I was recording. So, I mean, like you're rolling through, and whether it's raining or if you drive through some water or whatever, and your wipers automatically turn on and stuff. It's just really cool. It's this immersive type of feel to being inside of it. I think it'd be even cooler if I had a wheel or something, but I don't.
I think a friend of the show, Greg Stewart, tweeted out tonight his son. Well, he definitely tweeted a picture of his son with a racing wheel. I think they might have been playing the Forza Horizon 3 demo, although Greg does have every racing game ever, so who knows what it was.
Oh, man. Yeah, so it comes in handy then. But I've never felt the urge to race from that perspective or want to have a wheel before. But, yeah, I mean, just a lot of fun, and it's really cool. It looks fantastic. And so, you know, as I dig into the game more, and my review will be out Tuesday the 20th, I think, of September here. So I'm excited for that. It's, you know, I love, just like you, I love the last two Forza Horizons. So it really just kind of fits into that wheelhouse for me, where I'm not as much of a simulation. Well, I don't want to, you know, I was like a Burnout Revenge fan.
Sure. It's an amazing game.
Yeah, more so than the, you know, very hardcore simulation type racing games. And Forza Horizon kind of fits in between the arcade-y and the sim. It's not a pure arcade because it can still be very realistic. But, yeah, it's just, you know, kind of right there for me as far as racing games go now, more so than maybe even the Need for Speed type of games, which I used to like in the past also.
Well, I really enjoyed the most recent Need for Speed. I really enjoyed that. Played a lot of it. I think I did I'm pretty sure I reviewed it for somebody. But
you like the cheesy... I think you reviewed it for Sporting.
You're probably right, because that was last year. So
the cheesy story, right?
Well, like is a strong word, but I found
enjoyed.
I was very bemused by it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was just so silly. But, you know, sometimes, especially with video games, like, you just kind of embrace it for what it is. You know, there was definitely some tongue-in-cheek with it, too. Like, it was not wholly self-unaware, you know, with Need for Speed. But it was also just a fun racing game. Like, you know, had the racing not been really fun and interesting and challenging, the cheesy, silly story might have gotten really annoying. So, so I really enjoyed the last one. But, I mean, to me, right, there is no comparison. The Forza Horizon demo series is light years ahead of any other series like it. I'm not smart enough to tell you technically why the racing in Forza Horizon is so fun. It just is. It's so good. They've, like you say, they struck out of the box. They've struck this wonderful balance. Like, I'm a fairly experienced racing game guy to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But certainly not to the degree of like people like Dr. Ken and Greg Stewart, who did a review of F1, which we'll talk about later, on Hit the Pass, and actually Dr. Ken wrote a really cool Forza Horizon 3 demo piece, because that takes place in his home country of Australia, and he talks about how he experienced the demo with his family, his kids and stuff. I thought it was a beautiful piece. So anyway, you know, I said the racing is so great, and I know there's a lot of customization options, but
I don't even really mess with
it. I don't want to, because it's so good. It's a really, really well-built racing experience that any video game fan, any console player, right, would be able to enjoy immediately.
Yeah, like if I were to assess the two major consoles, PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, and I'd say someone would ask, you know, why would you go with one over the other? You know, I'd as a sports fan, I'd say PlayStation 4 is for MLB The Show, Xbox One is for EA Access and Forza, right? And that's basically what it comes down to, you know, preferentially.
That's a hard choice, because those are both really good reasons to go with both with either console.
Yeah, and then pretty much everything else lands on both consoles. So
right,
but those are really the defining differences between the two consoles in my mind, and they're absolutely system sellers.
Yes, I agree.
As far as quality goes, so. As far as the other racing games, you mentioned F1 2016. There's also NASCAR Heat Evolution, which just came out. I mean, what is your level of interest in those? Would you be playing them if you could be at this point, if you had more time and money?
Yeah, well, out of F1 and NASCAR, the one that I would definitely be playing if I had the time and the money would be the NASCAR game.
It sounds like F1 is a better game, though, right?
Well, F1, again, reviewed very well by really great racing people, critics of racing games, Dr. Ken Parker and Greg Seward on Hit the Pass. Go check that out. F1 is a very well-regarded game from a mechanical standpoint and from a realism standpoint for fans of the Formula One sport. I'm just not, right? And it's the same reason that that FIFA, as it got more complex, became years ago more difficult for me, because I didn't understand the nuances of international football and how seasons go and how competitions go and how transfers go. Like, I didn't know that 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah,
I do now. And amazingly enough, Pro Evo and FIFA are among my two favorite, you know, games.
Yeah.
So F1, we know, is an excellent game, but I just don't know anything about Formula One racing. Therefore, NASCAR, which I wouldn't call myself a NASCAR fan, but I'm certainly just more aware of it, the mechanics of it, sort of who the, you know, the big important tracks are, the history, you know, the most famous racers and stuff like that. But also, more importantly to me, I've played a bunch of NASCAR games over the years, and only one stands out to me as a real differentiator. There was a game called NASCAR Dirt to Daytona years and years ago. This is a PS2 game.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the way that game was structured and the racing, and I wouldn't say the story, but sort of your ability to climb up through the ranks of different racing series, like the trucks and the dirt cars, it was just, for me, it clicked. And I just love that game and played more of that than any racing game I've ever played, probably, at least until Forza 6, which I fell in love with. So anyway, because a number of the guys who made that game are behind the new NASCAR game, is where I would go. I will be surprised if at some point I don't find myself playing this game, you know, maybe on some sort of a deal. And we could be talking 6, 9 months from now. I don't know. A lot of that will also depend upon what TJ and Greg and Dr. Ken say about it, because I know TJ has been playing it. So that's the one where I go. I know F1 is great, but I just can't see me. It's a little out of my league.
Yeah, and I totally get that. It's tough sometimes to adapt to new games, especially if you don't, like you said, understand the intricacies of the sport and how they apply to a video game. So, but as far as others, as has come up a couple times already, Pro Evolution Soccer 2017, Rich, how much time have you spent with that one?
Oh, my Pro Evo 2017. It is just, so far to me, I probably played 8 or 9 full matches. I just got it a couple days ago.
Yeah.
It's great. It's going to sound silly, but the thing that stands out to me more than anything is the soccer ball. Like, when it flies through the air, it is more realistic than any soccer ball I've ever seen flying through the air. Like, if you watch a lot of professional, or, you know, if you watch any professional soccer, and I tend to catch more Everton matches than I don't, at least parts of them. And I certainly, if there's a big, important Premier League game on, I try to at least catch. And you can do that because I can watch them all, or, you know, watch them all on my phone and stuff like that, or my iPad. So If you watch a lot of soccer, you know the ball, when you kick it, doesn't just sail through the air straight. Like, it dips and dives and weaves. And, like, Pro Evolution captures that so much. It was startling to me the first couple of times I noticed that, right? Like, and I've been playing FIFA 16 for the last 3 months almost every night, because I'm in my third season with Everton. And before I played 3 months of FIFA 16, I played 3 months of Pro Evo 2016 and played 3 years in the Premier League with Everton, rebuilt them. So, like, I've been on a steady stream of soccer. So I just went from FIFA 16 right into Pro Evo 17. And it was striking to me, the ball. The animation, the players, the way that game looks in action is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And if you do the thing that I've done, which, you know, our friend Corey Andrews told me about a couple of years ago, you know, the trick to do with Pro Evo is to set the control scheme to the FIFA controls.
Yeah.
And I did that and playing the game, and it's just spectacular. I can't say enough great things about this game. It's just spectacular.
It is. Even if you've been only playing FIFA, you can adapt pretty quickly if you change your control scheme, and it's one of the defaults. Or you can, there might be one or two differences, but you can edit those yourself. So, like you said, you know, one of the things that jumped out to me, and I reviewed the game for Sporting News, is that the big moments, kind of those thrilling goals, things, you know, that you look back on and you look at replays of, just look so good. They look so realistic.
I tweeted one the other day. And multiple people replied, like, that looks totally real.
It looks like, it could have come straight out of a video clip. and so, the gameplay is just top-notch. And they really addressed the two areas that I heard the most complaints on over the years, and that's goalkeeping. That was a weakness of the series. And then also the lack of fouls. And last year you could just get away with anything, and they did, the refs, you know, did not, the officials didn't call anything. So it balances the gameplay out much better, in that the hyper aggressiveness that you were previously rewarded for is gone, and you have to play a smarter game. So really, really pleased with the gameplay. I mean, if there were any drawbacks with the series, it's two of them, and that's the first to me is that all the modes are very basic or essentially copied from other sports games. They don't really have a unique take on anything. I'd like to see them innovate in the modes in some way. I mean, but they've basically just kind of kept up with everybody else.
Well, you know, it's funny because they were the last sports game to go the Ultimate Team mode. Like, they were the last ones. And I remember a couple, 2 or 3 years ago, I had not a community manager, like the product manager, you know, for, you know, pretty senior executive guy there for the game. You know, and I asked him about, you know, no Ultimate Team or anything like it. He's like, well, you know, this is a very Japanese company that's making this game, and they are very traditional, and it's not really what they do, but, you know, we're going in that direction. That's what we're going to do.
The company has. Konami has.
Right. Well, it's funny, too, because, I mean, the company, like, Pro Evo is one of the last, I don't know what Konami makes. Not a big Konami guy. I mean, I know they have several important series. I think Metal Gear is the big one, right, that they're known best for. But I mean, this is, you know, they've almost abandoned most console games, and yet Pro Evo, now here it is. And I will be shocked if they're My Club, which is their Ultimate Team, isn't a big reason that they're still making this game, right? Because it's not a big time moneymaker, but obviously it must be doing something right, because Konami has cut everything else.
Yeah. Well, it still has a good presence in quite a few regions across the world. I mean,
well,
it should.
It's great. Yeah. It just plays beautifully. And your review is spot on. Like, everything you mentioned in your review in the Sporting News, I was like nodding my head. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing that leads us to is why doesn't it have the reach of a FIFA? And that's because of the constraints in the licensing, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you have to be able to get over that. And you know, it's tough. And I don't blame people who just want to start up the game and have everything there. And yes, there's workarounds. You can edit yourself, or on PS4 only, this isn't Xbox One, you can grab files from other people, and there are websites that have them already.
And this is huge, right? Yeah. This is huge. I did this a couple years ago, but I think what they're doing now is really letting this go to the next level. And more than a couple of people have, you know, tweeted at me with places to go. Like, there's Pez World and Pez Universe. Mm-hmm. And evidently, and I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do it because I love the Premier League and I want all the kits. And, you know, it's nice when I don't really play other leagues, although I am just in preparation for getting the downloads in Pro Evo. I'm playing a Champions League. I'm like just going through a Champions League with Atletico Madrid, which is, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Spanish league, but if there is a club that I like in the Spanish league, it's Atletico. I just kind of sort of picked them a few years ago because I'm like, yeah, I really can't do Barcelona, Real Madrid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's just a little much. Yeah. But Atletico is like the third of the three. It's not like they're, you know, like the fighting for relegation. It's not like they're Everton, for example, you know, who never wins anything in the Premier League, who's my club there. So, but anyway, while I'm you know, when I find the time to sit down and sort of find the right roster set before I do that, I'm like, yeah, let me just play through the Champions League. But I'm the way that it evidently is so easy to go get the kits that people have really made look fantastic, like the kits and the names of the league, and the fact that the announcers will react properly when you call Everton instead of Merseyside Blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really makes it even more appealing. Yes, it's that step that a lot of people won't take, but it really looks like they've made it as easy as possible to do it. I'm going to give it a go, and I'm not the guy who normally does that kind of thing.
On PS4, at least.
On PS4.
Again, right. Xbox One is left out from that, unfortunately.
But man, it's so good. Everyone should play it. I mean, at least get the demo, right? If nothing else, try the demo, because mm-hmm. the demo is great, and it reflects a great full game.
Yeah, and the like we said, the gameplay experience is just sublime. It's you know, I started playing it, and I'm like, man, so many of the frustrations that I feel when I've been playing FIFA the last year or two, they're just not there. You know, it's just a cleaner, kind of more balanced experience, and that's what I like about it.
It feels real. Like, yeah. It just feels like how real soccer, like when I watch a real soccer match and I play Pro Evo, it just, they look very similar.
Yeah.
And it sounds silly to say that, but for all the amazing advances that they made in sports games, and as great as all these sports games are, not all of them look like the real sport when you're watching it. They might look like it in screenshots, but like Pro Evo, it looks like real soccer, like you're watching on TV every day.
Yeah, so with as good as that game is, there's a FIFA 17 demo out. I mean, I wonder, Rich, are you going to buy FIFA 17, or are you going to rely on EA Access to try it? Or is that just really, it's just not going to happen this year because you're settled in with Pro Evolution?
No, I mean, last year I told you, I played three full seasons of Everton on Pro Evo. And then when I was done with that, I'm like, you know what? There's a few months till FIFA 17 comes out. I want to give it a shot in FIFA 16. And I basically played six complete seasons. And when I say complete seasons, I mean playing every game of the league, every game of the FA Cup, every game of the Capital One Cup, all that stuff. And then, of course, because I was able to put my team together pretty well and do well, I got in some Champions League. So I played, I don't know, what is that, 45, 90, 130 times two? What's that, like 260? I mean, I played a lot, right?
Yeah.
So, and I liked both. Like, I liked both. So, yes, I'm going to play FIFA 17 on EA Access. I got 10 hours of it coming. I will be shocked if I don't buy FIFA 17. I've got Amazon Prime. That also is another nice thing. Gives you a nice little
that
discount.
Helps.
Absolutely does. Absolutely does. So, yeah, I'll be buying it. I'll be getting it on, I mean, I'll try it on EA Access. It'd be crazy not to. What I'll probably do on EA Access is a bunch of stuff that I won't do on PS4, because on PS4, that's where I'll pick up and do my rebuild of Everton again. Like that's just the way that I like to play that game right now, because I'm now good enough to where I understand a lot more than I ever did, but there's still a whole lot more going on that I know I can. It's not like Road to the Show where I did it like 7 years in a row and I got burnt out on it. I'm not at that place with FIFA. This is really only the second or third time I'm gonna give this a go. So I'm definitely all in on FIFA. Not even bothering with the demo. You know, I don't need to and don't have the time to. I'm ready. I'm definitely in on FIFA this year.
All right, so another game that just came out recently, NHL 17.
Yes.
Quick thoughts on that, Rich.
Played a decent amount of it, and it's going on my backlog. I've got it, but there's no way right now that I am going to play NHL. There's no way that I'm not going to put Pro Evo in front of NHL. Plus, we have our Madden League, which we'll talk about in a minute. So I got a couple, two or three games a week of Madden I have to play. I got to factor that into the schedule. So between Pro Evo and Madden, and haven't even gotten to it yet, but we will mention the NBA 2K Prelude. I've played NHL. It's fine, but it's not going to... It's not doing anything for me right now. I don't know if I'll come back to it because there's too much other stuff.
Right. So, totally agree because I think NHL is decent. But when I look at Madden, Pro Evolution, NBA 2K17, Forza Horizon, FIFA 17, I see games that are 9s and 10s, right? These are phenomenal games.
You're right.
NHL is, of the traditional like league licensed sports games, it's now with NBA Live gone, it's now the worst. And that doesn't mean it's bad. I'm just saying it's bottom of the list, right?
So you're right. It's not bad. It's definitely not bad. It's good. But it's not as good as probably everything else, right?
Yeah. It's not as good. It also has, in my opinion, the least appeal to gamers outside of like the core fans of the sport. I wonder if you agree with that. I think every other game, NBA 2K, Madden, the soccer games, these really reach out and can grab like more casual type players who aren't, and I think they're a little more accommodating to them than NHL.
Well, I mean, hockey is a niche sport in the world of big time sports, right? It has millions of fans and is a major sport that generates billions of dollars. I mean, let's not be crazy here. It's a major sport, but it is not as popular as soccer, football, or basketball, or baseball even. So
yeah,
that in and of itself gives it a more narrow appeal than the other major sports. But honestly, I think it's really good. Like, it's a enjoyable game to play. It is familiar. I mean, I've been playing NHL games. I know you have for probably 20 years or more, right? Like,
Sure.
Right. So, I mean, it's immediately familiar. Probably, I think maybe even a little too familiar because. Mm-hmm. When you combine sort of the gameplay, which is improved and better and has some interesting stuff in it, and the presentation, which is kind of the same presentation it's been for the last couple of years, that familiarity for people who aren't big-time hockey fans who are looking at the nuances that have been improved, I don't think there's that excitement level that you get. And then that's where I think it, like to your point, because it's hockey and because it's just not got that, oh my gosh, here's this amazing new thing, and it is kind of familiar. I think that's really where it's just going to struggle to break through. And who knows? Could be wrong, but that's where it seems like it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the World Cup of Hockey, which is interesting, and it's got, of course, EA Sports Hockey League, which is really what it kind of rests on.
Yeah, well, EA SHL is by far the best cooperative mode in sports games, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's where it comes in that, when I say, you know, it's maybe the least accessible sports game, the one way to get around that is you play those online cooperative modes where you're only controlling one guy. I mean, it's the case in NBA 2K also. If you're inexperienced, the best way to start playing is in the career mode. Control one guy.
Yes.
Because controlling an entire team and having to rely on AI.
What's going on?
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
So and EA Sports Hockey League is designed in such a brilliant way, and you know, EA is fairly reliable with online play. So
yes.
NHL definitely, it has its high points. It's just doesn't shine in the way that some of these others do, where we look at them and we say, man, that's an all-time great game right there.
Yeah, again, it's kind of like, and this is not the right analogy, but I mean, it's almost kind of like the Mariners that won 116 games going up against just a better team. Like, there's just a lot of almost transcendent games this year. And, you know, I mean, you can be really, really, really good, but if everybody ahead of you is even better, that's why we
examined, you know, what does this mean for games that are second, third, fourth on people's lists when they all release at the same time? You know, which ones fall out?
But the other thing is, from a business perspective, and it's very hard to find this, but like, what is the definition of successful? Like, our definition of success for NHL, I'm sure, is very different than the definition of success for EA, right? I'm sure there's a certain number of copies that they need to be sold and a certain revenue target that even in this they might hit. Like, they're, you know, they know what they're doing. They know what the market is. They're the ones who are releasing games right in front of it with Madden and right after it with FIFA. So I wish we knew, and it's fascinating to know whether this will be profitable or not, even in the midst of it. And that's the, you know, because they have Ultimate Team, which is a revenue driver, and, you know, they know their budget, right? It's an expensive game to make. So that's the other thing, that, you know, it is certainly from a consumer perspective, not at the top of the heap, but who knows? It might be a little moneymaker for EA, or it might not be, right? I don't know. It's fascinating, like, that aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, in this climate right now, I think what happens is you're forced to, I mean, all these games, in order to stand out, they're forced to be exceptional, right? And so that's actually a good thing. Because it's a
fantastic thing for us, for consumers.
You can't look and say, well, NBA 2K17 doesn't have any competition, or Madden doesn't have any competition. They do. It's the limited dollars that consumers have to spend in a certain time period. That's the competition. They're competing against everything else, even not just sports games, even other games on the market.
You got to wonder what EA Access does. Again, we know the Xbox One is not the leading console, but I think it actually has won the last 2 or 3 months of NPD. You know, there's a lot of people with Xbox Ones, and a lot of people, I'm sure, with EA Access. And getting 10 hours of access to a hockey game, that's a good amount of hockey. So there might be a bunch of people who are like, yeah, I played NHL, it's great, just haven't bought it, but they're just getting it through EA Access. And also, same thing, like the NHL, you know, it's a long season. You might not get it now, but it you know, Black Friday or Christmas present or something like that, you know, it's also a great market to get deals. And that's the best thing. If you're paying $60 for any sports game, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. And that's a good point too, is that also, not only are you getting these pre-order deals where, you know, on Amazon, if you're a Prime member, you get it $48. If you're a Best Buy Gamers Club member, you can get 20% off also. But the price on these games, retailers have to drop them pretty quickly. I mean, you saw Madden within 2 weeks, it was $40 at Amazon.
$40? Like, is that
no? It was a one
drop?
Day.
Okay.
It was a All one right. day. It was a deal of the day on Amazon. But it just goes to show that we're also only, you know, 2 months to a little over 2 months to Black Friday, where you are going to be able to get all these games, all these EA games, for $25 on Black Friday.
Well, I mean, I can tell you, you know, with knowledge, right? Sales sell video games, and sales sell sports video games. So, you know, there is no better way to get people to buy your game than to put it on sale. And I don't mean that in a cynical way. I mean that in a great way. Again, it's great for consumers, right? If consumers know sales are coming, why buy full price, right? So,
and because of the digital revenue that they're making, companies, again, we've talked about the idea of free to play and everything. Companies want to get people in the door so that they can spend money within the game. It almost feels like sometimes more so than they do just want to sell the game to begin with. So,
Well, I mean, those, there's, you know, it's hard to ignore math, right? And if the math dictates that you get to keep your job and you get to hire other people and you get to increase the size of your development team, you're going to recognize that. And you know, we're sitting here talking about how these are some of the best sports games ever made. Well, there's a reason for that. The reason is that they're profitable and they're getting investments in things that will make the games more profitable. And sure, some of the things that make a game more profitable are new revenue streams, but those revenue streams will not exist if the core game isn't really good. Where, I mean, I think there's a direct line that you can draw to from, excuse me, a direct line you can draw from the when Ultimate Team became the norm 3 or 4 years ago to the high quality of the games that we're experiencing. And you or I mean, you actually, I listened to your show last week. You do spend money on Ultimate Team, but generally speaking, you're not an Ultimate Team revenue guy. Like you'll buy a little bit here and there. I don't even play Ultimate Team. It's not my thing. I don't complain about it. I think it's great that it exists because it powers my ability to play MLB The Show and play 162 game season the way that I do it, or play our Madden Press Pro League and stuff like that. So I view this as all good things. We have not gotten where we have feared for years, Brian, which is they ignore everything else and just make it an Ultimate Team game. We are where, you know, and this might turn out to be like the golden era, or it might continue to be like this. Who knows? Because the game market changes so much. But we are in a place where I think right now it's almost like a best case scenario where, yes, Ultimate Team and My Club and Diamond Dynasty and such are all important and get a lot of attention. But there's a halo effect that they give off that makes it better for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. The question to me is, will those sustain over the years? Because there's only so much they can change. And at a certain point, people are going to say, I spent $600 on Ultimate Team last year. Now I have to start over again. I've done that for 5 straight years. At a certain point.
Yeah, you're right.
You're doing the same thing over and over. So,
I mean, everybody will get fatigued. Everyone will get fatigued. But the people that are fatigued might fall out. But as long as there are some that are not or trying out. I mean, again, it's not the same mode, right? But I look at me, who I'm absorbed with the FIFA, you know, career, being a manager and running a club and buying and selling players. And Kat Bailey explicitly said last year, she's like, man, I've done this 3 or 4 times in a row. I'm bored with it, right? And I've said the same thing, like I said earlier, about Road to the Show or even offline franchise in Madden. Like, I'm not going to play an offline franchise in Madden anymore. I've just done it way too many times. I mean, it's not a complaint. It's just not what I'm interested in. You know, with Ultimate Team, there's always people that are coming and going. And as long as there's enough people, you know, playing it, it'll be fine.
And then who's going to innovate with the next big thing? So that's definitely stuff to watch. Let's quickly, you know, we're going to talk about this a ton coming up, but early thoughts on NBA 2K17, Rich, because 2K didn't send out review copies early. So, you know, it's very unusual. I pointed this out on Twitter. It's very unusual, the release day for a game that sells 8 million copies in a year, that there's zero reviews out for it. But there are no reviews out there for it. And really, consumers don't need reviews for this game at this point.
Nope. It's everybody knows it's going to be great. If it's not great, it'll be one of the biggest surprises in video game history, and that is not hyperbole.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only thing would be, like, do the servers work, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is really what you're examining more than, you know, man, is the gameplay good? They're not going to screw that up. Man, you know, does it have a lot of modes? Yeah, we know it does. They didn't add a whole lot as far as, you know, last year they added a ton of modes, a ton of different ways to play. This year they just kind of refined and improved on those. As with every year now, the new story in my career mode. So how much did you play the Prelude?
Rich? Oh, yeah. Love to play. Yeah. Love the Prelude. Thought it was brilliant. Not only just the game itself, right? I loved it. I thought it was fun. You know, being a kid, going to college, hanging with your buddies, you know, playing games, talking to your mom, meeting the girl, you know, spoilers, sorry if this is, you know.
Spoilers for a sports video game.
I loved
game.
It. I mean, you know, who does that? Nobody. NBA 2K. They're the only people who do that. And then you're playing in the college games. And the college, man, some of that stuff was intense. Like the crowds.
That's really cool.
Oh, my gosh. That was so well done. and then the gameplay. You're playing the games, and it's fun. And I don't know what position you took. I was a shooting guard. I kind of always go shooting guard. I was thinking I would go in a different position, but then I wimped out and went to what I always do. What position?
Shooting guard's a good one. Yeah.
Did you do shooting guard?
Yeah. I went shooting guard, and I normally go small forward, but I went shooting guard this time. Wake Forest, because I actually legitimately like Wake Forest. I almost decided to go to school there until I stayed home. So Wake Forest, yeah, that was my pick there, and yeah, the presentation in the games is awesome.
Oh, it's great. I went to Georgia Tech, and it was great.
Yeah,
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic, and I'm excited to play the full game. And it's just brilliant that NBA 2K makes the Prelude, because if you were me before you got the Prelude, this is another game. Like NBA 2K for years has been my absolute favorite game. MLB The Show and NBA go back and forth every year for my sports game of the year, right? I mean, I'm well on record having, we've all done, you know, press row for years, our game of the year game. So, but I was strongly considering at least not picking up NBA 2K on day one, simply because I was not going to have the time to play it, because I'm going to be playing Pro Evo. I'm going to be playing in our Madden League. I'm going to be playing Forza Horizon 3. Like, I'm just, that's what's going to be happening. Well, I've only got an hour a night at the most to play.
It's one thing to play, but in these games, you have to make progress.
Right.
You know, no matter what mode you're doing, it's not like, you know, you could, but for us, it's not really our type of thing to just go online and play one game against a random person.
Right.
In order, you know, in NBA 2K to make progress, you've got to invest time into the career, or you've got to invest time and potentially money into my team mode.
Right.
Or you've got to invest time into your My Jam and My League, which, you know, those are very intensive modes.
A lot of people just live at the park. Like, that's all they do.
Oh, sure.
Go to the park, yeah. Right?
So, and the time it takes to load into the park and get into a game, you might get one in your hour.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get NBA 2K17. It wasn't I wasn't going to get it, but I was like, you know, I'm not going to get it like day one. Like I never got around to pre-ordering it, because that would have taken like 4 seconds. I'm like, I just never did it, right? And then I was like, you know, I'll just wait maybe a week or maybe a day or maybe, you know, the first chance I have when I'm walking through a store that's selling it. Like I still like to buy my games on disc, because I will trade them in after, you know, later. I might only get $3 or $4 or $5 for it, but it always knocks $5 or $10 or $15 off my game anyway, right? So, but then I played the Prelude. I'm like, nah, I'll just get it, because I want to see where my guy goes. It's a brilliant way to get you excited about the game and to get you invested in the game. Like you play through the Prelude, your guy is there, you're ready, and then you move forward with him. It's a fun, compelling story. You know, the way that they play, have, you know, you play the four games. You know, making the decision to go to school, all this stuff. I just love it, and it did exactly what they wanted to do. It got me to pre-order the game. So I'm in. I mean, I was always going to be in, and just I don't know when I'm going to play it, but I had to get it. I was like, no, I want to keep going. I want to keep doing my thing.
All right, so Rich, before we close off here, I want to talk about a game I have not been playing, and it's Madden.
Yeah.
I can't play it.
Oh, this is so upsetting.
And I really want to play it, but ever since the patch came out, the one that has the, you know, delivered the Color Rush uniforms,
yeah,
I can't get into Madden. As soon as it connects to the EA server, my game crashes on my PS4, and so at the main menu, it'll crash. If I disconnect from PlayStation Network, I can get into Madden, but as soon as I try to connect to the EA server, it crashes. So I tried everything from deleting and reinstalling to rebuilding the PlayStation 4 database to restoring my PlayStation 4 back to complete factory settings.
Where are your saves going? Are they all, you're all cloud saves?
Yeah, the only thing that matters to me is the online franchise as far as save-wise, and that's a server thing.
Do the saves, cloud saves automatically happen? Like, is that just a thing that happens because you're PlayStation Plus, or do you have to do something to turn those on? Like, how does that work?
The actual cloud saves, like, we're not talking about franchise,
right? I'm just talking about PS4. Like, if you set it to factory settings, everything is gone, your games that you've installed, your saves.
I had already deleted that stuff manually, thinking it could have been the problem, but
all the other games, you know, there's plenty of stuff you've had on your PS4.
Oh well, most of the stuff I've been playing is all server saved. Stuff like Rocket League, and you know, I'm not losing my progress there.
Gotcha.
So So I didn't really mind doing that too much. But I'll tell you what's annoying about it is having to re-download a 60 gigabyte NBA 2K17,
right,
and a 40 some gigabyte MLB The Show 16,
yep,
and 20 something Madden. I mean, like, lot, I wonder if I hit some kind of data limit.
Yeah, just
now thanks to the last 2 days. So yeah, nothing's working. EA's looking into it because apparently I'm not the only person it's happened to. It's obviously not widespread, but apparently it has happened before, or has happened to a few other people. It's just bad luck of the draw, I guess.
The worst,
I
mean, man.
I don't know. It's sad because I was, you know, I'm missing out on all sorts of Ultimate Team stuff. I was doing every single day, and I'm missing out on. I might miss out on the franchise, and if I miss out on a week, I'm not even sure I want to continue in the online franchise, because the whole point of that to me is tracking what I've done the whole season.
Well, you know, maybe – so that's very, very bad, and it just shows the incredible challenge of managing these games, right, in this, with the incredible amount of technology that it takes to run, build, deploy these games. It's kind of amazing this stuff doesn't happen more often. Hopefully the EA guys can get you fixed, because that would be bad. But on the other hand, I'm 0-2 in our league, and I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm
completely lost. Was that CPU games?
One was a CPU game, and one was against my arch rival Pete Dodd, who beat me, I think, 45-0 or maybe 52-0. He destroyed me.
How did that happen?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. 6 turnovers. That's one thing that happened. By the way, I'm in the Bengals this year. I've always been the Eagles, but this year I'm the Bengals, who I've never played with. But if you remember, a couple weeks ago in our Madden roundtable, I was like, "Yep, yeah, I'm waiting for our league to start. Like, I'm not playing."
Oh,
Madden.
You hadn't played yet?
I haven't played the game, and evidently, Rich, I should.
You can't
probably
just do that. People may, you know, make the crack that sports games don't change every year, but you can see how much they change with an experience like that.
I'm so lost. I literally have no idea what I'm doing. I'm not great at video games. I'm no amazing person at it, but I made the playoffs every year in Madden, you know, in our league the last few years. I made a couple of Super Bowls in, you know, years 4 and 5. Like, I'm not a 52-0 loss guy, but evidently I am, because Bill Parcells, you are as good as your record is. I'm 0-2, and I just got thumped by 50, by half a 100 to Pete Dodd.
Well, also, the loss of the CPU says a lot, too, because, I mean, if you look back to our league last year, did anybody lose to the CPU? I feel like it was automatic wins.
Well, I also did the play of the moments, though. And
that
changes things, right?
Yeah,
that changes things. I just don't like playing defense in Madden, and playing defense against a computer, really, to me, is just a waste of time. Mm. And again, time is my most valuable asset. I just have so little of it. Like, wasting 5 minutes of it drives me insane. So,
There you go. That could explain also why you struggle and give up 50 points.
That's exactly right. I mean, part of that loss was just bad luck. There was a couple of bad fumbles. Part of it was me being bad by throwing a bunch of interceptions. And part of it is me being bad because I don't know what everybody else in our league seems to know. Right? I'm not reading defenses. I'm just kind of going through, like, hey, you know, it's time to run a...
You're calling the same plays that worked last year, not necessarily going to work now.
That's what Pete told me. Pete's like, dude, you were calling last year's plays. And plus, he had Antonio Brown. He's the Steelers, and he just, like, 4 or 5 times, or maybe more. I think Brown caught 5 touchdowns. He just backed up with Roethlisberger, threw it up there in a one-on-one coverage. And Antonio Brown won it every single time.
Don't leave him in single coverage.
And he's like, you should have gotten safety help. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. And I don't.
Rich.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just a problem. And I can do one of two things. I can either get good and practice, or I can just keep showing up at game time every week and get my butt kicked. I have a feeling the latter is what's going to happen, at least, you know, for the foreseeable future. Because I'd rather play Pro Evo and Forza than practice in Madden.
Practice, you know?
I don't want to practice. Practice.
There you go. There's another thing, though. All these games all at once, our skills suffer, Rich.
Yes.
We're spread out, you know?
Yes. And it's so funny, because I got really good at Pro Evo and FIFA. For basically 3 months, I played MLB The Show on... No, for 6 months. I'm still playing MLB The Show. I played MLB The Show today on the treadmill. Played 3 games. I'm almost day and date right now in MLB The Show with where the Mets are, although my Mets are having a much better year than the real Mets. Although the real Mets are right now in the playoffs. So, but for basically... You know, 3 months straight, I played Pro Evo 16, and then right after that, 3 months straight, played FIFA. I got really good because I wasn't playing anything else on console on sports. And now I'm playing 5 games, and I'm just terrible at all of them.
It's tough. It's a tough time. But you know what? It keeps things interesting. If you just want it Madden all the time or whatever, then, you know, it gets a little boring. So, you know, it's... We're learning as we go here and trying to do our best and just like everyone else, picking our spots.
Real quick, before we go, Brian.
Yeah.
PlayStation 4 Pro. What does that mean to you? You get one day one? Did you pre-order? Or do you not care? Yeah. Where are you with that?
I'm pretty much with the consensus, which seems to be nice system. If I didn't have a PS4 or my PS4 broke, or if Madden broke my PS4... I would replace it with the PS4 Pro just because it's a little more powerful. It's a little more future proof, as far as 4K and everything like that. But plus the reason why I would choose that one is just the price. It's only $100 more than the new Slim.
Hey, I don't even know. Is the new Slim out now? Like you can.
Yeah, it's out. And I think it's out.
The original PlayStation 4 is like not a thing anymore.
Phased out, yeah.
Okay.
So the Slim is basically the default
model. How much is that?
$300, and then $400 for the PS4 Pro. So,
do you have a 4K TV?
I do not. Dylan does, actually. So I'm going to be curious to see if he does that. Like to me, what I'm looking at more is like the new Xbox next year, which seems to be like a bigger jump. And more relevant to people. So I may make the upgrade there on the Xbox side. I don't feel the need to upgrade on the PS4 side. But like I said, if I was replacing it or I didn't have a PS4 Pro, I would go for this one regardless just because it was $400, only $400. And I think that's people were pretty pleased with the price on that. But it's just a question of how much is it going to do for the majority of people out there. And it's really not much. And most of these sports games... I mean, with the exception of maybe MLB The Show, I'm not sure most of these sports games are going to really do much with the increased capabilities there.
I bet you they do in year two. So I'm thinking, you know, a couple of years from now.
Coinciding with the Xbox side of things, you think?
Probably. I mean, look, I don't care what anybody says. In my mind, these things are really the next version. And in a year or two, there will be a pretty big divide between PS4 Pro / you know, Scorpio games and non ones, you know, and I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, that's just the way that technology moves. I'd rather we get cooler stuff faster. On the other hand, it takes a tremendous amount of time already right now to make these games, and you know, the amount of time and effort and assets to make them to add more to that, like there's got to be a breaking point with these groups. So there's that too. Yeah. I don't have a 4K TV, but I'm sort of at that point. I haven't bought a new television in a while.
There you go. I mean, I bought two big screen, 1080p TVs in the last couple of years. So I don't really feel inclined to go and spend another $1,500 on. Well, you can get a nice 4K TV.
I wouldn't spend $1,000 on any television.
You can get a nice 4K TV now. You can get like these off-brand ones, which are actually pretty decent for like $400. But I mean, like I'm not going to downgrade the size of my TVs, and so I'd be looking at a higher price. I mean, I like my 60 to 65 inch ones. So that's
right.
But yeah, I mean, 4K has gotten more affordable. It's just a question of do you feel the desire to upgrade? And maybe, you know, if it has been several years, then it might make some sense.
Right.
So but I mean, there's not a whole lot of 4K content out there even still. No, there's some stuff on Netflix. There's if you buy a 4K Blu-ray player, you can do that. But I mean, that's another big investment, too, because the PS4 Pro, for some reason, doesn't play 4K Blu-rays.
Yeah, well, the last time you bought a Blu-ray. I mean,
I buy them.
You do?
Oh yeah.
How?
I mean, really? I just okay. literally like last week a Civil War, Avengers Civil War. You know,
nice.
No, or not Avengers, but you know, Captain America.
I haven't bought a Blu-ray in 8 years, but I'm also not a big. I watch a decent amount of television. Probably not compared to someone like Sumit, who you know actually makes it his job. But I mean, I stream everything. Like I haven't bought a Blu-ray or DVD for anything in 6 or 7 years.
I can tell you why the ones I buy, it's because I usually buy the Blu-rays that are 3D because my TV, the 3D on my TV is amazing. It's okay. Like 100 times better than seeing 3D in a movie theater. So with movies like Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Captain America Civil War and stuff, like these things look so good on the Blu-ray 3D. So that's usually what I go for. I don't, you know, I'll stream most other stuff, but my favorite movies I like to own. But anyways,
but to me it just seems like if the company who helped make Blu-ray a thing isn't putting that in their top end console,
Sony, yeah,
like you know, 2 or 3 years from now, is Blu-ray even going to be a thing? I mean, I'm sure it will be, but it just feels to me like the whole digital, it feels like the whole sort of physical content is really being streamed out more quickly than ever, especially by people like Sony, who are content owners and hardware providers, and I think they almost view the disc as superfluous.
Yeah, so it's just. I'm sorry. I was just gonna say it's just kind of crazy that over on the Xbox side you can get the Xbox One S for $300, which has that capability in it.
Right. Yeah, it is interesting and ironic. The thing for me is, so in my office where I have all my video game consoles, I've got a television that it's probably 3 years old, 4 years old, so it ain't old. Perfectly
fine. That's ancient in electronics, Rich.
It's perfectly fine. Works great. Looks great. You know, and it's a relatively small room. It's not tiny, but it's not big. And where I sit, it's, you know, I wouldn't want to go any bigger than that, right? So I don't have any compelling reason to get a new TV in here. Downstairs in the family room, I've really got a television on the wall that is too small for the space. The TV almost kind of gets swallowed by it. Although we're going to probably get some furniture on either side of where the TV is hanging above the fireplace. So I could see myself at some point in the next 6 to 9 months replacing that television with a much bigger one in the 60 range. And I'm sure it would have to be 4K. And that's
when
I could potentially think about, okay. But on the other hand, because all my video game consoles are upstairs, what does that mean? I'm getting a PS4 Pro just for downstairs? Would I even play down there? So I don't even know then. So I'm ultimately I'm in with you where, or if I finish my basement, which ain't happening anytime in the next couple of years. So if my PS4 somehow breaks, I'll probably get the Pro.
Yeah.
But I don't see any other situation that I'd be getting it.
Yeah. All right, Rich. Well, you know, this was kind of just the precursor episode, a setup for next week when we'll be back with a big panel show of the Press Row podcast, where we're going to discuss all the recently released games, kind of a review roundup as opposed to doing one for each game, which is really not possible at this point. We'll just kind of examine each one of them. And everybody can go into the games they spent the most time with and which ones really resonated with them and everything. So check back for that next week, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Until then, take care.